Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Good to see you this evening. Hallelujah. I got this Bible a while back, and I just noticed today. Now, I use my old Bible for my daily Bible reading, but this is the one I bring to church now because my other one's falling apart. Somebody said, if your Bible's falling apart, your life won't be. So, that is if you're reading it and speaking it and obeying it. Now, if you're just hauling it around, I don't know if that guarantees anything. Sometimes your Bible can wear out just from hauling it around. But if you're reading it and studying it and meditating on it and acting on it, then yes, amen. But I'd realized that the words of Christ are not in red in this Bible. I was disappointed to see that. So, but I'll get used to it, I guess. So, praise God. All right. We're going to go to the book of Hebrews tonight. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 9 is where we're going to start. And so the writer of Hebrews, I believe it was the Apostle Paul, he's talking about Jesus, and he's talking about how Jesus is a type of Melchizedek in this passage. And he's, excuse me, he says this in verse 9. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. So what I want to talk about tonight is the danger of becoming dull of hearing. All right. And this revelation came to me this morning at the end of prayer school today. We started praying for this Sunday service with Reverend Kim Clout, and just started praying and that he would have utterance and he would be able to speak and say what God would want him to say, and he'd have freedom of utterance to say that. And as I was praying that, I just got it's like the Holy Spirit reminded me, it's things that I knew, but it's like a whole revelation came to me about this. And so I want to talk about it tonight, about being dull of hearing. And so here he says, the writer says, he said, I've got much to say to you, particularly about Melchizedek being a type of Jesus. He mentions it. He gets into it in the book of Hebrews, if you read it. But there was more he wanted to say. There was more he wanted to tell them. And he said, it's hard to explain. I'm having difficulty being able to get this across to you. And he laid the blame at them, actually. The reason, he says, is because the people had become dull of hearing. Now, they didn't start out that way. There was at one point in their Christian walk where they were sharp of hearing, where they were receptive of hearing, but they had become dull of hearing. And so the New Living Translation says it this way: there's much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. That's pretty plain, isn't it? The Message Bible says it this way: I have a lot more to say about this, but it's hard to get it across to you since you've picked up this bad habit of not listening. You know, it's like the old, the old joke of the husband and the wife, and the wife's talking to the husband, and she says something to you, or says something to him, and she said, well, you know, he didn't respond, and he said, she said, did you hear me? And he said, oh, I heard you all right. I just wasn't listening. You know, there's a big difference between hearing and listening, isn't there? Yes. Amen. And so he said, these people had picked up the bad habit of not listening. See, the ability of a minister to preach and teach the word with great effectiveness has much to do with the collective condition of the congregation being teachable and eager to hear. Keith Moore talks a lot about this. He said, when he starts the service, a lot of times he'll say, believe with me for utterance. He said, you have as much to do with this as I have. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And it's true. Amen. And so we can either be teachable and we can be eager to hear, or we can be dull of hearing and not listening. And it was hard to get it across. Paul says here, I've got things that I want to say to you, but they're hard to explain, or they're hard to get across. As one, the Message Bible says, the New Living says it's difficult to explain. It wasn't hard to explain or difficult to explain because it was such deep and complex revelation, but simply because the people were not willing or ready to listen. And there's various reasons for that that we're going to get into here tonight. So we prayed this morning for Brother Kim that he would have utterance, that he'd be able to share the truth freely and unhindered. And I've had a lot of experience with this over the years. And a lot of times, to your credit, to the credit of this congregation, I've had guest speakers tell me, David, your people were so hungry, they just pulled it out of me. It was so easy to preach here. I had such freedom to preach here. Now, I've never really had anyone tell me otherwise, and possibly because they kept that to themselves. That's not really something you, especially before I'd handed them the offering check. So, no, I'm teasing them. But that's really not something that maybe that you would want to share. So I've never really had anybody say that, oh, that crowd, you know, your crowd was dull of hearing. But I've experienced this also myself, you know, personally. Ministry. And most of my ministry, of course, has been done right here, you know, to this congregation. I've done some overseas ministry. Paul and I went to Singapore one time. We could tell you some stories about Singapore. But 1999, I think it was, we went to, I'll tell you one quick funny story about that. In fact, I may have told you, I've reconnected with James Tan on Facebook. Yeah. In fact, he invited me to come back over, Malaysia? It's Indonesia. He invited me to come to Indonesia. But James Tan was overseeing a school that the O'Dells had in Singapore. This was in the late 90s. And I went over there to teach a week in their school. And Paul went with me on the trip. And we suffered for Jesus in Singapore. They were having the Malaysian Food Festival at the hotel we stayed at. We ate good. But anyway, we decided to play a trick on James, and we took some washing powders that we had, and we put them in a plastic bag, a little Ziploc plastic bag, and we said, "Hey, James, this guy." We were talking to him and told him that we were flying out in a couple of days, and he dropped this off for us and asked us if we would transport it to Los Angeles for him. Do you think that'd be all right? His eyes got big, and he says, "What?" We said, take it easy, it's washing powder. Oh, praise God. So I've done a little bit of teaching overseas and then here, of course, I've taught some, traveled a little bit domestically in other churches. I've seen this, though. You can definitely tell when the people are with you, when the congregation's with you. And you can tell when they're not. So that's what we're talking about here tonight. And so we'll get further into this in the scripture. In verse 12, he says this. He said, "For though by this time, if you thought dull of hearing was an insult, or if you thought you don't seem to listen and you've picked up the bad habit of not listening," he insults them further. In verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use," note that phrase, "by reason of use, have their senses exercised," notice that word exercised, "to discern both good and evil." He says, you're babies. He said, you ought to be teaching others, and I've got to teach you the basic principles again. Can you imagine if a pastor talked to his congregation like that today? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking to you like this. I'm just simply reading to you what Paul wrote to the Hebrews. So don't anybody get offended here. But if it fits, then well. You deal with it. All right. But anyway, he says these people have by reason of use, he said they should have, If you're partaking of solid food, you're growing, and because you've, by reason of use, you've got your senses exercised to discern good and evil. So what causes us to become dull of hearing? Let's look at it. Number one is this: not doing the word that we've heard. Not doing the word that we've heard. Notice he says, by reason of use have their senses exercised. So if we don't do the word that we've heard, then we're going to become dull of hearing. And so we got to practice the word. Amen? Amen? We're told in James that we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So that's the number one thing that will cause us to be dull of hearing, is not doing the word that we've heard. So let's go to Ezekiel 33. Look at another one here. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. He says, as for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of their houses. So who is Ezekiel? Was a priest and a prophet. So he was a preacher and a teacher of the word. And so God comes to him and says, you know, the people are talking about you at home. They're talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of their houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother. Now, it's not anything bad they're saying about him, really. He says, please, here's what they're saying. Please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. You need to come and hear this guy. Well, that's complimentary. Ezekiel's thinking, oh, well, that's good. They're saying good things about me. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song, or one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. What's that? That's entertainment. That's entertainment. And so he said, Ezekiel, they're coming to you basically to get entertained. They're coming to get entertained. They're going to church. They're hearing a speaker, but only as entertainment. That'll cause us to become dull of hearing. If we only come to church. Now, I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to equip you. Amen. A pastor, a teacher of the Word of God, our job's not to entertain the congregation. Our job's to equip. Now, there's nothing wrong with a message being entertaining and keeping our attention. Amen. It should. Amen. But if we're coming to, if we're hearing the Word of God, just like, oh, wow, what a great message that was. What did he say? Well, I don't remember, but it was good. We had a service today. And just get an emotional high, that's not going to do us a lot of good. Are you listening? Amen? See, and so that's what they were doing. He says, they hear you, and let's read verse 32 again. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song, or one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. All right. So again, they're not acting on the word. They're not doing the word. They're just coming to get entertained. And if we come just to get entertained, we're missing out. We're going to become dull of hearing. Amen? All right. Let's look at another scripture here in Luke 6 and contrast that. The way the people were hearing Ezekiel is the way, or compared with, or contrasted with the way that many people, not all, but the way that many people came to hear Jesus. Luke 6, 17, it says, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. They came with a purpose. They came to hear Jesus with a purpose, didn't they? They came to hear him, and they came to be healed. Praise God. So that's a lot different than coming to be entertained, isn't it? They came desperate. They came hungry. They came with needs. They came expecting that they were going to get their need met. That's the way we ought to come to church. That's the way we ought to come to hear the Word of God, expecting that God's going to meet us, expecting that God's going to speak to us, expecting that our need's going to get met. by the word of God and by the power of God. Amen? Praise God. So they came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, as well as, verse 18, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And look at verse 19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Wow. I mean, Jesus shows up and he's teaching and he's preaching and the crowd gathers and then they come up to him and they start touching his clothes and power starts flowing out of him and healing every single one of them. There was not one that didn't get healed. Praise God. What a service that was. That was results. Well, who was responsible for that? Well, in part, Jesus, of course, but then also they were responsible. They produced that. They created that atmosphere. Amen? Because they came with a purpose. They came to hear and to be healed. Amen. Praise God. Let's look at another scripture and we'll get to reason number three that causes us to become dull of hearing. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Praise God. Do we have a great salvation? Huh? We have a great salvation, don't we? I mean, it's a full redemption. Glory to God. There's not one thing that our redemption that Jesus paid, that Jesus died on the cross for, shed his blood for, and was raised from dead. There's not one area of our life that redemption didn't cover. There's not one area of our life where there's lack or where there's a gap or where we can say, oh no, Jesus didn't cover this. He covered it all. It is a great salvation. Hallelujah. Having promised, Paul said, for the life that now is, and also the life that is to come. Amen? Praise God. It's a great salvation, but again, the writer of Hebrews here says, you know, you're not going to escape. Escape what? Escape the attacks of the enemy. Escape what Satan has coming against you if you neglect this salvation. If we don't believe and appropriate and walk in the salvation that Jesus provided for us, then the enemy can come in and take us out in one or more areas of our life. Amen. If we neglect this great salvation, he says, which at first began to be spoken. Put verse 3 back up there, Grayson. He says, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. So what is that? Jesus began to proclaim this salvation to us in his earthly ministry. And then those who followed him, his disciples, when they came along after the ministry of Jesus, they were preaching. What were they doing? Were they telling us something new? No, they were confirming. They were confirming what Jesus had said. It says, which first began to be spoken by the Lord and confirmed to us by those who heard him. And then at the start of that passage, he says, we've got to pay the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Amen. Because if we don't, he said, we're going to drift away. We're going to neglect our salvation. Not reject. Nobody, no, most people don't reject their salvation. But a lot of times we can neglect it. We can neglect it. Why? What causes us to neglect it? And that's reason. This is reason number three. Familiarity with the message. Oh, I've heard that before. Oh, he's preaching on that again. I was privileged to go to Rhema Bible Training Center, and we had there was a class called Faith Library, and that was just Dad Hagen would just come in and teach whatever was on his heart to teach. What a privilege! We had him 3 days a week. Praise God, and so he would come in and teach, for the first several weeks. He would say, let's open our Bibles to Mark 11, 23 and 24. And so much so that in our yearbook, I should bring it in sometime, in our yearbook, there's a picture of and it's a guy that I knew actually, and he's kind of rolling his eyes, and he wasn't really saying that, but the caption under it was, "Is he going to preach on Mark 11, 23, and 24 again?" And it was kind of a joke, but it shouldn't, you know. Unfortunately, it was to some people. And they missed a lot by thinking that. Amen? We've got to pay the more earnest heed, the more careful attention to the things that we have heard. Amen? If we think, oh, I've heard that before, I've heard him preach that before, is he going to talk about that again? And we shut it off, then we become dull of hearing. And we miss out on what God has for us. Somebody said, you know, if you're a doer of the word, you're eager to hear it again. Amen. It's life and light and joy to you. But if you're not doing the word, if you become dull of hearing, then you're like, oh, I've already heard that. I want to hear something new. You know, Paul again talked about teachers in the last days. People are going to heap together teachers because they have what? Itching ears. Itching ears. And they want to hear something new. And so it's not something new that we need. It's us being reinforced with the things that we have heard and paying the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Amen? I've seen a lot of people fall away from church and fall away from really walking with God because, I've heard that before. I don't need that anymore. You know, he's preaching the same old things. And, yes, amen. And I'm going to continue to, amen. And any minister that's faithful will do that as well, amen. Praise God. So we can't neglect our salvation. Let's go and let's look at another reason here, and we find it in Mark chapter 6. So reason number 3 was familiarity with the message. Mark 6 verse 1. Then he, talking about Jesus, went out from there and came to his own country. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many, hearing him, were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. So Jesus goes back to Nazareth, goes back to his hometown, and he goes into the synagogue to teach. And this is recorded in the book of Luke as well, in Luke chapter 4. And so he goes into the synagogue, and the people were astonished. They said, "Well, where did he get this? Where did he come up with this? Where did he get this wisdom? And what wisdom is given to him that these mighty works that we've heard about are being performed by his hands?" Wait a minute. This is the carpenter. This is the son of Mary. This is the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. His sisters are here with us. He grew up around here. And it says they were offended at him. They were offended at him. Verse 4, "But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house.'" And so he's basically was saying here, said, you're not giving me any honor. And verse 5 says this, "Now he could do no mighty work there." Didn't say what, he didn't get offended back at them. They were offended at him. He didn't say, "Well, just for that, I'm not going to do any miracles here." It says he could not. He could not. "Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them." And then the literal Greek, it indicates people with minor ailments. A few sick with minor ailments. He was able to get them healed, and that's all that he was able to do. Reason number 4 is this: familiarity with the messenger. We can get so familiar with the message that we say, "Oh, I've heard that before." But also familiarity with the messenger. They were familiar with the humanity side of Jesus. They didn't recognize his divinity. Neither did they recognize the anointing of God on his life. They said, "Oh, this is just Jesus. this is just the carpenter. Well, he was a carpenter, but he's not a carpenter anymore. Right? He's not just a carpenter anymore. But that's all they saw him as. Well, if you saw him only as a carpenter, then all he would be able to do for you would be make you a table and some chairs. He couldn't heal you if you just saw him as a carpenter. If you just received him as a carpenter, he couldn't heal your body. Amen. Only those who saw him as anointed by God could receive healing from him, could receive miracles from him, could receive deliverance from him. Amen. And that's the way that we get dull of hearing today. Now, so who was responsible? It says that he could do no mighty work there. Who was responsible for that? They were, weren't they? They were. Again, contrast that with what we read earlier in Luke chapter 6. It says the people came to hear him and to be healed. And it says power went out from him and healed them all. And if you read later on in the chapter, it says he left his hometown and sailed across the Sea of Galilee to another city. And when he landed there, he said the people met him and they ran and they brought all the sick. He says, well, they recognized who he was. They brought all the sick and they were all healed. They touched him, and they were all healed there. Praise. In fact, let me just read it so I don't misquote it. And it won't be on the screen, but so we can get it properly here. When they'd crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, anchored there, and when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. Well, they didn't recognize him in Nazareth. They didn't recognize him in the home. They recognized him, but just as the carpenter. They didn't. Here, when he went across the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Gennesaret, same thing. When he crossed over and anchored there, they recognized him as anointed by God. They recognized him as the healer and the deliverer. Amen. And they ran through the whole surrounding region. They began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. That is a great contrast to what happened in his hometown, isn't it? A great contrast. Amen. Now, there's no preacher that's in the class with Jesus, obviously. But if you get so familiar with the pastor, with the minister, it's easy. You know, it's easy. I'm sure my flaws show up all the time. And if you get around somebody, you see their flaws. You get familiar with somebody, you say, well, you know, they're not perfect. And so if you aren't careful, that can seep into you. And when they start sharing the Word of God, well, I remember when he did this, or I remember when he said that, or I remember, oh, he's not perfect either. And the devil used that to keep you from receiving from the anointing of God. And you become dull of hearing. Amen? So let's don't let that happen. Amen? Praise God. All right. The last one here is this. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke 10, 38 says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. So what's Mary doing? She's sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to the word, hearing his word. Amen? What's Martha doing? You know, Martha's in the kitchen. It says Martha was distracted with much serving. She was distracted with much serving. And she finally, you know, she's, you know, I can just picture this. You know, she's in there. She's getting the food. It's a good thing she's doing. She's cooking a meal for Jesus. That's a good thing. That's great. She's serving. He's in the other room, in the living room, teaching. And Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to the word. Martha expected that Mary would be in the kitchen with her, helping her get the food ready. And when she's not, I can picture this, that Martha looks around the corner and sees Mary in there, and she starts clanging the dishes. and the pots and pans really loud, maybe she'll hear me and wake up and know that I need her in here. So finally, she can't stand it, and finally she comes out with her hands on her hips, and let's read it, what she says. It says she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." Some of y'all have been praying that way. You've been praying wrong. "God, get these, speak to these people to help me." Well, they may be doing what they're supposed to be doing. Amen. And she said, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, I'm sure in a calming way, I'm sure in a grateful way, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Everybody say one thing. One thing is needed. Well, what was that one thing? Yes, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. So Martha was doing a good thing, serving. That's a good thing. And God wants us to serve Him, and we should serve Him. Amen? But we can get so distracted in serving that we stop listening, that we become dull of hearing, and we miss out on what God wants to say. Boy, I've seen it happen too many times to count. I don't want to count. It's sad. It's heartbreaking. You see that happen in folks' lives, that we become so distracted in serving that we stop listening. And so that had happened to Martha. And Jesus said, one thing is needed. She was doing a good thing, but a good thing can become a bad thing if it keeps you from the one thing. You ought to write that down. That's good. A good thing can become a bad thing if it keeps you from the one thing. Amen. The one thing is to hear His Word. Amen. That's what empowers us to serve anyway. That's what keeps our service pure anyway. Amen. You know, Paul talked about that in the love chapter. He said, I could do all this. I could give all my goods to the poor. I could deliver my body to be burned. I could do all this. But without love, profits me nothing, right? And so a good thing can become a bad thing if it keeps us from the one thing. So Mary chose the Word, and Jesus said she has chosen that good part, and it will not be taken from her. Praise God. If we come ready to hear, if we come with an open heart, and we're not dull of hearing, but we're come eager to hear, then we're going to receive things that will not be taken from us. We're going to receive impartations that are going to stick with us, that are going to reinforce us, that are going to build us up, that are going to strengthen us, that are going to equip us. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So let's review these five things again as we wrap it up. Let's not become dull of hearing. So on the positive side, number one, be a doer of the Word. Put the Word into practice. We become dull of hearing when we don't do the Word. So let's be doers of the Word. Let's put the Word into practice. And then number two, hear the Word with a purpose. Hear the Word with a purpose. Don't let it be entertainment. Don't let it be, okay, I've come just to get entertained. Come like those people came to hear Jesus. They came to hear Him and to be healed. Hear the Word with a purpose. Amen? And come to church with a purpose. Come to church believing you're going to get something. Amen? Praise God. And then number three, don't become familiar with the message. Oh, I've heard that before. God's Word is life. God's Word is health and medicine and food. You know, I've eaten eggs before. Amen. But I'm going to eat them again. I eat eggs most every morning. Most every day I eat eggs. But I won't get up tomorrow and say, oh, I've had eggs before. I don't want eggs. I eat bacon most every morning. But I don't get up and say, oh, I've had bacon before. I'm not going to eat that again. Amen. It's still good. It's still good. And the Word is still good, even though we hear the same truth over and over again. It nourishes us. Amen. Praise God. So don't become familiar with the message. Amen. And don't become familiar with the messenger. So much so that you miss out on the anointing. Recognize the anointing. Paul said this, it's very enlightening. In 2 Corinthians, he says, from now on, we recognize or we know no man after the flesh. From now on, we know or we recognize no man after the flesh. In other words, we shouldn't look at each other and say, oh, that's just so-and-so. We should recognize the gifts in each other. We should recognize the anointing on each other's lives. Amen? Praise God. So don't become so familiar with the messenger that you miss out on the anointing. Amen. And then number five, don't let your serving get in the way of your hearing and receiving. Don't let your serving get in the way of your hearing and receiving. Should we serve God? Absolutely. But we have to make the Word a priority. Jesus said the Word is the one thing and the main thing. Amen? And it should be a priority in our lives. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, again, thank you. I thank you for my brothers and sisters tonight, and I pray for them, and I pray for myself, Father. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to take heed to this message tonight, and that we would keep ourselves, that we would keep our hearts, and Lord, that we would not become dull of hearing. Father, I pray that for myself, and I pray that for my brothers and sisters tonight, Lord, that we So take delight in my word each and every day. So come to me each day, hungry to hear my word. Come to me each day and say, open my eyes, O Lord, that I may behold wonderful things from your word. And the truths that you know will become even more precious to you. The truths that you've heard will become even more real and more alive to you. And you'll see even more clearly how to apply them in your life. For that's where the blessing is. That's where the victory is. That's where the benefit is. That's where the victory over the enemy is, when you walk in my word, when you do my word, and when you act upon my word. And so come every day and take delight in my word, and you will not be dull of hearing, but I'll reveal things to you. And things will not be hard for you to receive, but you'll see things that you've never seen before. Oh, not something deep and mysterious, but the blessed simplicity of my word and the blessed truth of my word that will sustain you, that will uphold you, that will guide you, and that will give you victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well,